All right. Hello, Home Service Pros. Welcome to the Battle Plan Marketing Podcast, episode number 137. Today we have a special guest on the show, Ms. Suzanne Mariga, CPA, CGMA, founder and managing member of the Mariga Group out of Houston, Texas. She is a 2021 Profit First Professional Firm of the Year, recipient of the 2011 Houston Minority Supplier Development E10 Award, and featured in the Houston Business Journal, MBE Magazine, and a variety of other media outlets. Happy to have you on, Suzanne. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the Battle Plan Marketing Podcast for Contractors. Get actionable advice and tactics on how to grow your home service company, plus interviews with industry experts dropping value bombs in marketing, sales, and operations. And now, let's power up your home service biz with your host, Mark Ambrose of Battle Plan Marketing.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on, sharing your time and expertise with us. So let's dive right in. Let's let the audience know what you do, who you do it for, where you do it.
Yeah. So I am actually a CPA by background. And what makes me a little bit different is that, I work with our clients to implement a method called Profit First and our fractional CFO work. And so what that means is a lot of our clients, they're 7-8 figure companies. They've learned that what took them to a million isn't going to take them to 10, isn't going to take them to 50. And one of the things that they've learned is that no matter how much revenue you add to that top line, that doesn't necessarily mean that the bottom line is going to correspond or correlate in that way. And so that, so it's important that no matter where you are in that revenue cycle, that you are profitable from day one. And what we teach is something called the Profit First Method. Profit First is a methodology that was founded by author Mike Michalowicz. And what Profit First teaches us is that as business owners, we need to take our profit first, literally take our profit first. And the reason why that's important is because, when you're operating in a way that everything is commingled, all the money is in one bank account, it's a lot like having a large plate of food, right? One of the first things they tell you when you go on a diet is to use smaller plates.
Right.
And the reason why you use smaller plates is you eat less food. And that's the same way it is with money is, when we have less money, we use less money. When we have more money, we make different financial decisions. For example, suddenly we need that new car, those new computers for the staff. We think we need to hire additional people, right? Because we have money, or get that bigger office space. And what Profit First teaches us is that we create what we call an illusion of scarcity. So that's done typically through bank accounts. You have one bank account where all the money comes in. And then what happens is on the 10th and 25th of the month, money is allocated to the different bank accounts. So you're allocating, first of all, to profit, because we are talking profit first. And we're going to allocate a set percentage of your collection straight to profit on day one. We're going to allocate the owner's pay, because I can't tell you how many business owners that I meet every day. And I ask them, who's your most valued player? And they'll say, oh, it's Amy, it's Sue, it's Michael. But they never say themselves. And the reality is, the day you leave that business changes. And so you are the MVP. You're the lifeblood of that business, and you need to be paying yourself. And we also set that up as a percentage of your revenue. And this is important. It's a percentage because as your business grows, as your revenue grows, you need to be compensated with more money. I can't tell you how many business owners that I meet that are stuck at $100,000 salary every single year, even though their business has ballooned and grown, they still cap that salary. And then the next account that we're going to set up is going to be a tax account, because the reality is, if you got a profit, you are paying yourself a great salary, you're driving that Bugatti, we got to make sure that we're putting away money for taxes, right? Now, we're going to be strategic about taxes. We're going to definitely look for ways to reduce taxes, but we're not going to be worried about how we're going to pay last year's taxes with this year's money, because we're going to put that money aside as we go along. And then that final bank account that we have after we funded our profit, after we funded our owner's pay, after we funded our tax account, is going to be the operating expense account. And that's where everything else goes. And so instead of going, oh my goodness, I have all this money, we're creating this illusion of scarcity, meaning that this is all the money that I have in order to make financial decisions.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a wonderful approach to business. I read the Profit First for Contractors. I'm sorry, I haven't read Mike's book. I've read Van Dyke, is it? Gosh.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say about 2 years ago, maybe, and it worked wonders for me. Now, I only did the four. So, yeah. So tax. So putting the money aside for tax was a big winner for us. And then, like you say, profit, salary, paying yourself a salary. And then I keep the rest all in that one account where it's all coming in as my operating expense account. And it's a game changer right there. Assuming, of course, that you have profits in your math, right? So can we talk a little about that? Do you run into, so you work with a lot of service companies at all?
I do. I work with a lot of service companies. I've worked with contractors. And, you know, actually I've taught for like New York Economic Development Council for their contractor. So quite a bit of experience with contractors. And you're absolutely right with that. I mean, if you are running projects, right, you're running construction jobs and you're not planning for adequate margins, right, you're undercutting those prices. You're trying to get that yes bid. You're even bidding on those multi-million dollar projects. Well, guess what? You can have $1 million loss even with that.
Right.
And so it's important that you're pricing correctly, right? And you have an accounting system that's going to allow you to really look back and go, you know, which projects was I profitable on? Which ones had really great gross margins? Which ones didn't? And then what allowed me to be successful in these projects so that I can repeat this again?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. You know, I work with smaller home service companies, and their biggest problem is indeed that pricing for profit, putting together all their expenses into what the cost to roll out a truck is on a service call, and then they frequently don't have a salary and a profit for themselves built in. Do you walk them through that avenue there at all, Suzanne? That's a harder road to go down, and it differs by every single type of service they're providing, right? So how do you approach
right.
that?
So there's a variety of different things, you know, long-term contracts versus short-term contracts, right? If they're, you know, residential and they're a GM and they're thinking about how do I, or GC, and they're thinking about how do I, you know, for a long-term project, you may be subject to all sorts of economic things too, right? I think during COVID, we saw lumber.
Yeah.
We saw lumber prices go through the roof. And you may have been at a contract, accepted a contract, and suddenly your cost of construction has significantly changed, right? Depending on what's going on. So that, first of all, understanding, you know, the life cycle of this construction project, is it long-term or is it short-term? Do you have clauses in your contracts that allow you to be able to adjust for variable rates that may happen that are going on there is important. And then, you know, it's algebra. You know, how many projects can I do per year? And how much owner's pay do I need to have? And what type of projects do I need to be aiming for that's going to give me the gross margins that are going to produce that owner's pay and profit that I need in order to maintain that lifestyle?
Yeah.
And goal that I want.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to start there. You got to get the math has to work from the get-go. Otherwise, we're all in trouble, right? So fantastic. One thing I saw that was amazing on your site was that you are, sorry for the air quotes, fractional CFO. So I really like that because, you know, now on the opposite side of the spectrum, we have very successful clients, service companies, and they want some guidance there, some financial guidance, but don't want to hire a full-time CFO. So talk to me a little bit about that service and how you help folks out that way.
So as a fractional CFO, what I usually find is that what took you to $1 million is not going to be the thing that's going to take you to 10 or 50 million, right? You may have had strong and mighty might to kind of plummet through to get to that seven figures. But really, once you're at that point, it's a completely different game, right? And if you do not have the controls and the processes in place to create profit, right, you can easily get a multi-million dollar contract and run at a loss. And so as a fractional CFO, you know, what that means is I go into companies that are seven, eight, nine figure companies. Most of my companies are typically, you know, between 1 to about 50 million in revenue. And what we're doing is we're really optimizing their processes. We're optimizing their processes, making sure that their accounting system allows them to, at the drop of a second, be able to look at how am I running in terms of margins? How am I doing with my budget, my job budget versus my actual, right? Am I on track to be successful? And what do I need to do to course correct? Are there conversations that I need to have? You know, if I need to do a change order, is this, can I make up some of those losses that I've been incurring with this change order that will do that? And so we're helping them develop those systems that allow them to do that. Another thing that we're doing is, especially in construction, is, you know, once you're at a million, right, it's hard to outsource that accounting, especially if you're doing job costing. And so that might mean for some of our construction clients is they might have an amazing office manager and it's time to bring that accounting in-house. So maybe we're training that office manager. We're helping them hire an in-house bookkeeper that's going to be able to do that job costing as they go, keep those books up daily so that on a given day, I can see what's been my profit and loss for my month to date as well as my year to date versus waiting 30 days for an accounting firm to process those. We're looking at pricing at that point. How are we pricing? What's our calculator look like to help us price our contracts at this particular point? And how are we looking at efficiencies, right? How are we in terms of our internal staff and being utilized, especially if you get into the trades? What's our utilization rate on our people that we're having? So a lot of it is very specific to what the company needs, but really it's about creating processes and reports and numbers and information that allows us to grow and scale in a profitable way and not have to wait 30 days for information. Hmm. And QuickBooks is a great entry level software. It's good. I would say up to about 50 million at that point. We're looking at something a bit more robust, right? That can handle larger volumes of transactions. But QuickBooks is a great starter software to take them up to about 50 million.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see you do a long host of training on QuickBooks, it looks like.
Yes, we do.
So walk me through, like, let's take a typical, let's say, plumbing company and, got the founder, got two office staff and maybe 8 or 9 trucks out in the field with 8 or 9 or more, you know, technicians. And they're doing, let's say, about 2 million, but they don't have their SOPs together. They don't have their accounting together. So walk me through, if you would, a accelerated version of how you would get them to get into processes, you know, get all that worked out.
So the first thing we're doing is we're creating intentional profitability. And that does not look like having financial statements at the end of the month and seeing, oh, this is how much I made. No, we're creating an intentional profitability up front. So we're immediately implementing profit first in their system. And again, every dollar should be generating profit. Every transaction should be generating profit. Yeah. So we're setting up that system to do that. So that cash management system, we're looking at pricing. You know, how are you pricing and what has been our historical gross margins, historical profit? What are our costs, right? What's our fixed costs versus variable costs? And if we're looking to look at our goal, how much do we need to make in terms of volume and in terms of revenue? And how do we... And is that possible, right? It becomes the next question. You know, if you're lowballing your prices, it may not be possible to generate the bottom line, right? That you need in order to generate profit and the lifestyle that you want from that standpoint. We're looking at utilization rate. You know, how billable is our staff? Do we have people that are sitting clocked out that are on payroll, that are not really generating revenue? What needs to happen to get that up? Or do we have somebody that's sitting on jobs taking 2 hours to do a job when it's a 45-minute job, right? And so we're looking at efficiency from that standpoint. So, you know, those are just some of the basic things that we look at. Later on, we get into tax strategy. My background is a tax accountant. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, you know, people get these accountants, they tell them, oh, go out and buy a truck. And that's great if you need fleet, right? But at some point, you know, if we're adding another fleet, it's just getting another pretty truck. That's not what we need to do. And so we're going to look at tax strategy. We're going to look at, okay, what are our goals? And a lot of the tradesmen's goal is, you know, if they've been having a hard time recruiting. Yeah. And so when they get somebody good, they want to keep them long term, right? They don't want to have an open door where people are constantly coming in and out of their business, because reality is the longer somebody's with you, the better that they get at their job. They get more efficient. They know what they're doing. They add ideas, right? They tell us how to improve our business the longer that they're with us. And if your goal is to improve longevity, because that's going to improve profit, let's align that tax strategy with that. And so maybe what that might mean is, okay, yes, there's 401ks and simple IRAs, but maybe we might get a little bit off of safe harbor. Maybe maybe we're going to have a vesting plan that they have to be with us for about 6 years before they fully vest. Yes, I'm going to get a tax deduction, right, every year. But if you leave me year two for the shiny lights of my competitor, you're going to forfeit those contributions you're not vested in. And they're going to go back into the trust. And well, guess who's going to be left standing at the end of this company? Mark is going to be left standing at the end of this company. And so these all go towards his retirement. And in the day, if you choose not to stay and you forfeit your contributions. And so again, we're looking at tax strategy to how do we increase your net worth while at the same time getting a tax deduction without running out and just buying expenses. It's interesting. I had a prospect call me and he's like, so what's your take on this? Do I increase my expenses to get some tax deductions? And I'm like, you're calling the wrong accountant here. We don't increase expenses just to get a tax deduction, because cutting your own ankles to cut Uncle Sam's doesn't work for anybody.
No. Yeah, I never understood that approach there. Yeah, that's super awesome. I like that process, taking them through, you know, the A to Z's to get there. And sometimes just growing for growth's sake is not the best way to better profitability, right? Do you get into, like, there are certain services that the company has been doing that they should focus on and maybe relieve themselves of doing others or greatly decrease that kind of thing? Are we looking at, you know, high margin jobs?
Absolutely. So we're looking at something called Pareto Principle. Pareto Principle is at 80-20. What that means is that 20% of what you do produces 80% of your bottom line. And that's where that job costing becomes really important. That's where that, you know, looking at your divisions and what your service lines are is very important. Because at the end of the day, if we all stay in our zone of genius, right, that's where the profits are going to go up.
You called that 80-20 Plato Principle?
The Pareto Principle.
Pareto Principle. We've all heard of the 80-20, but I didn't know it was Pareto. First, I thought you said Plato. I was like, oh, Plato was talking about the where most of your business comes from.
No, it was named after, I believe it was an Italian economist, and he studied Italy, the wealth in Italy. He noticed that 80% of the wealth belonged to 20% of the population.
Yeah.
And hence Pareto Principle was born, because he noticed that it didn't just apply to wealth, but even if you walk in your closet, you probably wear 20% of your clothes, right? 80% of the time.
Exactly. Yeah. It kind of applies to almost everything. Maybe not exactly 80-20, but super close, right? So crazy. I like that a lot. That's fantastic. So somebody could hire you for QuickBooks training and training of somebody in-house in their staff, Suzanne?
Exactly. As part of the fractional CFO work.
Yeah. Nice. And do you find most people are on QuickBooks already or not?
I think that's a popular software, especially once they're at a million, they're using on some type of software, you know, whether that be Xero or QuickBooks. I think QuickBooks is probably the most popular one. They probably do the most marketing from a budgetary standpoint. Yeah. But most of them have picked a software by the time they're at that seven-figure mark.
They've already got something in-house, so they're already fantastic. Yeah. All right. Take me through, you know, if I was a plumbing company and getting my numbers together, how would I contact you?
So the best way to contact me, and I actually have a gift for your audience.
Oh.
And what that gift is everyone goes, what's a healthy company? What should I be looking for? And I actually have a study that was done by Profit First Corporation, and based upon your size, it tells you your ideal percentages. So your ideal percentage of profit compared to revenue, your ideal percentage of owner's pay, your ideal percentage of tax and operating expenses versus your revenue. And you can actually download that. And you can download that at www.profitmap.co.
Profitmap.co.
.com.co. And you can download that. And that's a great place to start with Profit First. It'll also put you in touch with me.
Awesome. I will put that. I have the team put that in the description on the podcast. Appreciate that. And the YouTube channel there. And that'd be great to. So tell me, how did you get involved in the Profit First, you know, Mike's book, and what attracted you about that book and steered you in that direction?
So it was interesting because, you know, when I started my career, I had one of those very different experiences. I actually grew up working for my dad's CPA firm. I was his bookkeeper. He hired me when I was 14. Cheaper for him to hire me than pay for babysitting. And I was one of his bookkeepers. So I was doing like some of the sales tax returns, payroll tax returns, bookkeeping. By the way, guys, great write-offs hiring your children. Okay, you got to do that. Keep the money in the family and push the money to the lowest tax bracket as you can, right? Make those kids take you to Disney World. And I don't know how many family vacations I paid for working for my dad. And then when I got out of school, he asked me if I was going to work for him. I said, no, Dad, I'm going to work for the number one firm in the country. I'm going to Anderson in Chicago. So I went to work for Anderson, and then I went to work for KPMG. And when I had my daughter, I realized that my life was about to change. Probably around 6 months of my pregnancy, I was responsible for the company's Toronto operations. And I literally was on this, I call it a propeller jet. It's like this small airplane that has like the one seat on one side and the two seats on the other. And I was flying from Houston to Toronto at the time. And I remember being about 6 months pregnant, and the stewardess walked by and she's like, you know what, you need to put the armrest down. And I was like, okay, how am I going to do this? Because I was like wide pregnant versus pointy pregnant, and like putting the armrest down that like squishing my stomach. And it hit me at the time that my life was about to change significantly. I could no longer be on the road every single week flying back and forth, right, to Houston from Toronto and everywhere else in the world. And so I started my own business. And, you know, like many small businesses, we start out really fast. You know, we end up getting some major government contracts and some of the largest government entities in the country. We also build a very big, sizable small business practice. We were Goldman Sachs, you know, 10,000.
Nice.
And significant growth. And one of the things that bothered me about it was, you know, I would see these companies come to me year after year, and they were so fixated on cutting taxes, but they didn't have anything to show for their hard work. Like they had no profit, you know, they were paying their employees more than they were paying themselves. They were still financing their cars. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to retire one day. How are you going to retire one day was my question. And I happened to find out about Mike's book, Profit First. And as I was reading, I was like, oh my gosh, not only is this helpful for me, but it's helpful for every small business owner out there. This is a life-changing opportunity. And, you know, Mike Squares, I was like one of the original Profit First professionals. I was like, I still think there were like 20 other people in the room when I first joined. But, you know, I am an author. I have a book that I wrote with Mike McCallowitz, Profit First for Minority Business Enterprises. By the way, even if you're not a minority, it's an amazing book.
Nice.
Talk really serious tax strategy and everything else. So it's a must read no matter who you are. It's a great book for you.
I see.
I would say it's a great book for anyone creating... Right. Creating a Gen 1 Legacy. It's a great book.
Nice.
And, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with many clients, and I've had clients that went out and bought their own farms. They bought their own buildings. You know, they have become the first millionaires in their family. And again, it was all about creating intentional results, creating intentional profitability.
Nice. Yeah. Super awesome. Nice road for you. So your child was just a few years old then when you opened up your business?
Oh, no. I actually went on maternity leave and didn't come back.
Oh, good for you.
And started the company right after she was born.
Wow. Good for you. Congrats. And congrats to the quick and early success and continued. And I see your book over your shoulder, your left shoulder there. So we will put that in. I see you have, I didn't know there was all that many Profit First books now. I'm looking over your other shoulder. I see for dentists, chiropractors. I did not know that. So those are all Mike's authored all those books, or?
Mike as well as Profit, they were all written under their Profit First brand.
I see. Awesome. So I did not know that Profit First had a training and certification course. So tell me a little bit about that.
So, you know, a lot of it is, you know, you have to bring in your own expertise, right? So you have to bring in, you know, for me, I was a CPA for many, many years. Before becoming a Profit First professional, you know, you have to bring in that particular expertise. But in terms of the physics of how to move the cash and what it looks like from a standpoint of Profit First, you know, we do have that expertise from that training from there, in addition to our professional experience that we have.
Yeah, nice. So, of course, you got to be a CPA or accountant or something, you know, along those lines already. To make it help you out, or just a business owner like myself and just read the book and said, wow, you know, that's really good. I think I did get Mike's book and it was a little more complicated and I put it down. I don't think, I'm one of those people who read 10 books at the same time and, you know, I haven't gone back to it. So we'll get there. Let's talk marketing, Suzanne. So what percent, you know, this is a question, what percent of my, you know, revenue should I spend on marketing? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah. So that's a great question. It's a question that I often get, you know, and, you know, I know there's some rules of thumbs that they teach you from an economic standpoint, accounting standpoint, typically 3% of revenue. And for me, it really depends on your goal as a company, right? And that's where it's important really to look at what is your ROI, right? What is the ROI from marketing? And what I typically like to see with marketing expenses is a 10x return on marketing expenses, so advertising expenses. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it needs to be a 10x is, yes, you may get the client, the lead and may convert to a client, but there's also costs of actually doing the work, right? Is that cost of construction, the labor that's going to be needed, or even the support staff, right? That G&A, that general and administrative overhead, right? And so all that has to be really captured in the total revenue that you're earning. And so it's important really to look at the ROI on the spend. And as you're testing your different marketing approaches and you're looking at what works, right, eventually you're going to be able to go, you know, this is the number of leads that I need to have in order to close X amount of clients, which is going to produce X amount of dollars. And so if I do this over and over again, how much do I need to produce to create that result, right? And again, that's where those robust accounting systems, those robust tracking systems to see what's working, what's not working is extremely important with that, right? To be able to see that. And so really it depends on your goal. If you're a small startup and you've got an excellent amount of seed money to invest in marketing and you want to have super fast growth, right? Again, it's, you know, not throwing all your eggs in a basket. You want to test it to fight, make sure you find your cadence of what's working versus what's not working. Also being able to pull the plug when it's not working fairly quickly too, it's also really important, you know, but again, what I'm looking for is a 10X on marketing.
Well, so do you find a lot of companies not tracking their advertising, their results?
When they don't have a fractional CFO, yes. Well, when they have the systems refined and robust, they're definitely keeping an eye on it.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be tracking. Got to know what's working, what's not working. So food for thought out there. Any marketing that you see that's working well for a lot of home service companies that you would, or the opposite, like don't waste your money. We see this as a losing venture all the time or quite often.
You know, I think that letting people know your work is extremely important, right? Knowing the results that you're putting out there in the world, letting people see the beautiful houses that you're building. And knowing who's doing it, I think people are also interested in knowing the person behind the brand, I think is really important. And there's nothing like a handshake, right? There's nothing like people knowing who they're buying from and shaking hands.
Yeah, I agree. So a lot of social media where you can show off your staff, yourself, your team, your before and after, your customers. So, yeah, definitely. And that's something I had always been an advocate to not hire a marketing agency to do your social media marketing. Probably everything else, yes, maybe. If you could bring it in-house, that could work too. But I think social media is the one type of marketing that every company should do in-house. You should have somebody in. They want to see, people want to see your team, your, like you just said, they want the personality of the business. If you hire that out, people are just posting things with stock photos or stuff. It's not really going to work. So bring that in-house.
They want to see those overalls.
Right. How about yourself, Suzanne? What kind of marketing do you find fruitful for your company?
So, you know, there's nothing like just the, you know, what they call it, serve selling, you know, just being more of an approach of helping people, right? And being able to really add value, I think is really important. I think the educating, being able to educate people about what you do is extremely important. And, you know, just going out and meeting people.
Yeah. Face-to-face would be nice. B&Is, you know, meetups, Chamber of Commerce, get yourself known out there locally. Now you handle the whole country though, yes?
Yes. Yes. We do service the entire United States.
Canada also, or very different up there?
No. They have different tax laws. So yeah. United States.
One country at a time.
Exactly. But Profit First will work for multiple countries.
It will indeed. Yeah, sure. Worldwide. Absolutely, I would say. What would you say are some of the things that have worked best for you over the years at getting your name out there and becoming known?
So I think, you know, it's really about, for us in terms of well-known, it's just doing good work, right? Mm-hmm. Having clients that talk about what we do and how we've changed their lives. And, you know, I think that's probably been the biggest thing that has helped. You know, you become known as that thought leader in your industry, and that is extremely helpful. You know, I think, you know, having been an author, you know, like, I think that people, you know, they get to know you. It's kind of weird because you meet people and they're like, I've seen you, and they know more about you than what you probably feel comfortable that they know about you having read your book. But, you know, just, it's just, again, it's just about adding value, finding ways to add value.
Yeah. Overwhelmed with value. Be remembered. But then don't just rely on your customers to send you customers. So be proactive in marketing. I get so many, prospects who, when I ask them what kind of marketing they do, they say, word of mouth. I get all my business word of mouth. You know, if you're a home service company, that's a lot of volume to get from word of mouth. You know, maybe there are certain industries, maybe your industry would be, or mine would be okay, word of mouth. But I don't think if you're a home service company, relying on only word of mouth. So yes, overwhelm with superior service, and then stay in touch. How about that? So do you find a lot of companies not staying in touch, Suzanne, with their past customers, newsletters, you know, however they may do it?
Oh, definitely. You know, I go to these networking events. I have no problem giving out my business card to salespeople because I know that 90% of the time they'll never call me anyway.
It's so crazy.
It is. But it's reality, right? They don't follow up. And even in our businesses, right, it's important to follow up. Yeah. Because really that's where those relationships are built.
Yeah. And you got companies, you know, service companies spending thousands, tens of thousands per month on ads. And doing their best, of course. It's not like they're trying to fail there. But follow up is either non-existent or not very good. And even initial contact, you know, missed calls or leads coming in from too many sources, web forms, web chat, Facebook, you know, Instagram, all over the place. So yeah, we're even noticing, so we're heading more towards AI and automation to handle all those incoming leads. So, you know, you get a better ROI on what you're doing already, the existing traffic, the existing lead flow you already have. Super important, I think, for companies out there to start looking into automation. You can't have somebody on 24/7, or, well, you can, but it's very costly, you know, and they may not be picking up right away and ready to go. Or if they're on a call and they get another one, now you got a missed call, and, you know, depending on follow-up and all that jazz. So, yeah, super important. Let's see. Anything you would like to cover that I have not, Suzanne, since I'm the world's worst podcast host? Oh, by the way, to the listeners out there, Suzanne has her own podcast, so you can listen to Profit Talk Podcast. Of course, great name. On all the channels. So look for Profit First Podcast and give it a listen, because accounting is super important. So let's talk about that again. So what would you say is a key ingredient or two, Suzanne, to, you know, business success?
So I think the biggest key ingredient is to, you know, I love Simon Sinek. You know, he says start with why. Yeah. And it really is so important to, you know, as a tax accountant, I remember, like, clients would come to me and they would be like, you know, sweating when it came time to pick up their tax return. They're like, how much do I owe? And I would look at them like, you don't know how much you owe. Like, and they would have no clue how much they made either, you know, because literally, you know, they literally woke up and they were just so entrenched with their business that they never did their books, never looked at their financial statements. Even if they paid a bookkeeper, they weren't looking at their financial statements. Mm. They were creating random results. Like, it could have been a positive, it could have been a loss. They were literally experiencing random results. And it's so important to start with why. Like, and when I say why is, what does winning look like? You know, at the end of the day, what do I want my life to look like for this year? I know it's 2024 that we're in now. We're at the beginning of the year. But what do I want to look like on December 31st, 2024, right? What do I want to have accomplished? What do I want my revenue to have been? You know, what do I want my impact to have been? And then work yourself backwards, right? Create that algebraic formula. What must be true for that to be true, right? And if that's profit first, if there's a profit goal, right? Define that profit goal and then work backwards. What needs to happen from a revenue standpoint in order to reach that profit goal, right? If it's to have more time, right? And be more of present in my life, you know, what needs to happen, right? I need to have certain type of people around me that are thought leaders that can make decisions in my absence that I can trust, right? That are well trained. And what needs to happen for me to build that team around me? What's missing right now that needs to be done? So start with why and create and work backwards from there.
Love it. Love it. Always start with your goal, which is your why, and work backwards for everything, every part of your business, really. It's one of those sort of like the 80-20 rule. It applies. If you do it, it'll put your focus on it also, and you'll put thought into action. So let's go back to my question of a moment ago. I'm sorry, I cut you off and I went to another direction. So anything you want to bring up and talk about that the world's worst podcast host did not ask you yet?
No, you've been amazing as a podcast host. Oh, you know,
you're too kind.
Absolutely amazing.
I'm winging it. I got that New Year's hangover. So happy New Year to you, by the way, and everybody out there.
Thank you.
So what kind of, so nothing out there that you wanted to share that I didn't cover, Suzanne?
You've been absolutely amazing.
And I am winging it, so you're lying, but thank you. You're too kind. How about some influences? What, a book or a podcast, or what do you cover on your podcast? Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah. So on our podcast, The Profit Talks, it's for our scaling entrepreneurs. So our 7, 8, 9-figure entrepreneurs. And really, it's about how do I create more profitability and profitability in money, profitability in life, right? And more so about money, but how do I create more profitability, especially surrounding the profit first strategy? And so we bring guests in, we talk about, you know, different avenues to increase profits, revenue, strategic efficiencies. Those are the things that we cover in the Profit Talk podcast.
Nice. And you have guests or co-host, or is it just yourself?
We do have guests. I do some solos, but we do have guests at times too.
Thank you. I didn't mean to say just. I did 100 and something all just by my little old self. And then I ran out of things to talk about. And I figured I'd bring on smarter people than people can listen to and get something along the way. How about so let's go back to that, a book or a podcast, any resources you recommend somebody to follow on a YouTube channel, whatever it may be?
Oh, wow. You know, resources, you know, I think that it really depends on where they're at, right? I think it's, you know, there's different seasons for different mentors, right? If you need help with marketing, I think Mark is a great, great reference to follow from that standpoint. If you're looking to get more efficient with your finances, I think I'm a great resource to follow. And I think that depending on where you're at, you find that person that's leading it and follow them. You know, I think in life, we're not meant to have one mentor. We're meant to have many mentors because that's how we develop into being the best version of ourselves, is by being mentored by those who are the best version of themselves in that particular industry.
Yeah, I like it. And you evolve over time. So, you know, who you need in your life will evolve as well. So, yeah, very nice. Fantastic. Let's go back over to how do they contact you, Suzanne. So the free guide, again, is profitmap.co, right? And your website?
Our website is marigagroup.com. So M-A-R-I-G-A group.com.
Great. And do you want to give a social or email or anything out to those who are maybe interested?
Yeah. So I'm definitely active on LinkedIn. Feel free to follow me on LinkedIn, Suzanne Mariga. Exactly how it is. The great book, Profit First for Minority Business Enterprises. No matter if you're a minority or not, we've got great tax strategy, great business advice in that book. Definitely check that out.
Is that on Amazon, Suzanne?
You can get it any place that books are sold. Definitely Amazon. I think Amazon has 2 copies left, is what they say.
Always. Urgency. We'll put a link to the Amazon book in the description also, as well as the profitmap.co for free guide. That'll cover, what does the profit map cover for us, Suzanne?
So the profit map has the, what does a healthy company look like in terms of percentages? So common size percentages, what percentage goes to revenue or goes to profit, to owner's pay, to tax, to operating expenses. And it's going to differ based upon the size of the company, because as your company grows, those percentages are going to shift.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, that was very nice of you. So, too kind. All right. Well, I thank you for your time today. I wish I was better. My mojo is off, Suzanne, so my apologies, and to the listeners out there. But great topic. Great. You know, this is the road to profit,
right? Thanks to our listeners out there for sharing their time and attention with us.
No matter how great you are at whatever it is we do out there,
if
we don't get the math
right,
the rest is
just a waste. Feel free to share this one on your social channels.
So get the math right.
Good luck out there, and
we're big advocates.
Great day.
Suzanne, you're awesome. Thank you for
thanks
your time.
For listening
thanks
to the Battle Plan Marketing Podcast.
To the group out here. Thanks.
To power up your home service business, for show notes, visit battleplanmarketing.com/podcast. If you enjoyed our show, please share it on social. Until next time.